And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 759. God's word says this: I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So he who sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep's pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Awesome words from our Lord Jesus Christ. Look forward to hearing what God's word has to say to each of our hearts this morning. God bless you. Pastor Lynn.
Bibles with you. I'm going to ask you to open up once again to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And I'm going to need a volunteer this morning from the congregation, and I saw my son-in-law's hand go up, and so I'm going to ask him to come forward. Mr. Son-in-law, would you please come forward? Yeah, it went up so quick that it was difficult to see. I would like you to come over here. No. You kidding? If I want somebody to read something, I'll get somebody who can read.
Oh. Yes.
Please face there.
I've done this before.
Thank you. Now stay right there. Stay right there. I've got two Bibles up here now. I can give it to them with both barrels. The particular passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning is a picture, a word picture that Jesus gives us as to who he is. In our world today, there are a lot of people that think that there's a lot of different ways to come to know Jesus Christ, to get into heaven, if you will. And the Word of God tells us that there's just one way. There's just one way to get to heaven. How many people here want to go to heaven when you die? All right. What if I tell you you're not going to make it when you die? What if I tell you that Jesus might come back before then? So do you still want to die and then wait? Or would you like to go in the rapture of the church? How many here would like to go in the rapture of the church? It's almost unanimous. Almost unanimous. Well, I want to share with you today that if you want to go to heaven, there's only one way to do it. And that's what we're going to be looking at. There are people in this world today that think that if they simply do more good things than they do bad things, that the balances are going to equal themselves out. Now, for the sake of illustration, I want you to imagine that on the other side here is heaven. All right? While Tom is not allowed to go anywhere other than to heaven, if he's going to try to do this on his own, if I do more good things than I do bad, I will get to go to heaven. So Tom, without going left or right, go into heaven. Come on, go into heaven.
Won't you help me?
Believe me, the thought has crossed my mind. You can't get through there.
No.
Why?
Because it's a wall.
Because it's a wall?
Yeah.
But you're going to do this on your own strength. You're going to go into heaven on your own strength. Right?
No.
Oh. All right. Well, let's try something a little different. There are some people that believe it's not the issue of doing good or not doing good. It's whether or not they connect with nature. And if we're just connected to nature, you know, we'll get to go to heaven. And Tom is a naturalist. And so he is one of those ones who thinks, being out in the woods, that's going to get me to heaven. Yeah, it is. Tom, go to heaven through the woods.
This is the woods.
That's, yeah. You're not going anywhere.
No.
You're still here.
I'm still here.
How many still see Tom? How many aren't impressed? No, I'm just... Now, there are still others that think, you know what? If I go to church, that'll get me to heaven. And it doesn't matter what church I go to, just as long as I go to church, that's going to get me to heaven. Tom, go to heaven through the church. This is getting confusing. How do we get there? If we can't go through being good, if we can't go through nature, if we can't go to heaven through the church, how do we get there? There's only one way, and that's through the door. By coincidence, we happen to have, come here. Don't touch that. Just wait a minute. Now, that door, what's this place over here? That's heaven. Tom wants to get in there. And he's tried all of these other things. Now he's going to try something different. Tom, get into heaven. All right, yeah, you can clap. You can clap. He did it. He did it. Tom, you are amazing. You are amazing. Now come on back.
No.
Nope. Step back out here. Why could you get in there? Because there's a door. Because there's a door. Thank you, sir. Let's give Tom a hand for his help. want you to look at something with this passage of Scripture. As Jesus is talking, he's talking to some guys named the Pharisees. If you go back to chapter 9, the very end of the chapter, you'll see who these guys are. And they're listed as the Pharisees. And they're asking Jesus a question. And Jesus is responding because, you see, the Pharisees thought that they had the key. And that if you wanted to go to heaven, you had to go through them. And you had to do things their way. And Jesus looks at these guys and he's going to say, "Fellas, you're confused. Look at this." Beginning at verse 1. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber." There's a door that we must go through if we want entrance into the kingdom of God. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they didn't understand. Now, what's going on is Jesus is giving them kind of a parable type of a thing. And he's saying, "Boys, you guys think that you're some big shakes? You think that you can get people into heaven? You can't get people into heaven." Jesus says, "Look, there's a door that you have to go through." We saw that with Tom. Tom couldn't go through the wall here. If he would have tried to smash that down and go through that way, he would have been a thief and a robber. And that's just exactly what Jesus is telling these guys. "Look, you go by any way other than the door," which is the way that you're leading people, "if you go by any way other than the door, you're a thief and a robber." And thieves and robbers don't get entrance into heaven. They get imprisonment in hell. Don't think that you can be by the way of the thief and robbers and get into heaven, because you're not going to make it. You have to go by the door. And now I want you to look at this, because through these next few verses I want to share with you very quickly, these five things. I want to share with you the identity, the imposters, the comparison, the explanation, and the confirmation. So let's look at these five areas. Notice, first of all, the identity in verses 7 and 9. Jesus says this, "Jesus therefore said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" And verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." In other words, he's going to have everything provided for him. He's going to have life if he goes through me. I am the door. I am the entrance. Do you remember what he said at another place in the Gospel of John? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." But through me. Jesus is saying here, "I am the door. I am the door. I want you to come to heaven, but do it honorably. Do it in the right fashion." Excuse me. When I pastored down at Connellsville, I went into my office one day, and here was the door smashed in, laying on the floor. It didn't take me real long to figure out something's not right. Slow as I am, I picked up on it right away. I stuck my head in the opening of the door, and there's my library. All over the floor, books ripped. I mean, just all over the place. Every drawer in my desk had been taken out, tipped over, and rifled through. Someone stole my Snickers bar. To this day, I'm upset about that. But you see, what they tried to do is be a thief and a robber. And they succeeded. But going through that door into my office isn't going to give them heaven. They chose the wrong door. You see, it's not the church that gets you into heaven. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the door for eternal life. And so He says this twice. He's looking at these guys who think we are the big shots in the church. We are the teachers. We are the ones who understand that Old Testament law structure like no one else in the world. I mean, we have got our acts together. And Jesus says, no, you're just kind of thieves and robbers. Because you're trying to get the people into heaven through you. And that's not going to work. I am the door. He says it twice. I am the door. There's no other way. Folks, never believe that your good works will get you into heaven, because they won't. The only thing that will get you into heaven is a pure faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. If you try any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And God picks up on thieves and robbers real quick. He's not blind. And so He begins, if you will, with this whole identity thing. If you want life, if you want heaven, you got to come through me. Not me, Him. Understand? All right? Secondly, I want you to notice he points out the imposters. In verse 8, he says, look, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. You know, prior to Jesus, and even after the resurrection and the ascension, there were a lot of these guys that came forward and said, hey, I am the Messiah. I am the head honcho. I am the one who has the keys to heaven. And I mean, these guys were absolutely everywhere. And they tried all different types of methods to get people to follow them. Big difference. Follow them. Jesus is going, look, the sheep won't listen. They're not going to hear your voice. You know, I listen to every once in a while to some of these radio preachers and TV preachers and that type of thing. And you can tell a false prophet by who they're trying to get you to follow. If they're trying to get you to follow them, they're a false prophet. Pay attention to that. A true preacher, a true teacher, is going to try to get you to follow Jesus, because He is the one who has life. Because he's the door. You will never get to heaven through me. The only way you'll get to heaven is through Jesus. And we need to always, always, always remember that. A big problem in the church today is that too many preachers think they're Jesus. Do it my way. Do it my direction. And if you don't, you're going to be eternally lost. A true preacher is going to say, do it Jesus' way. Your faith must be in him, for he has the keys of life and eternal life. Others are imposters, or to use a newer term, posers. They don't have life. Now, you can throw your money after these TV preachers if you want to, but you're throwing away good money. By the way, money's not evil. It's the love of money that's evil. And if I hear one more preacher saying, you know what, if you'll send me $25, I'll send you this handkerchief that's been prayed over, and with this handkerchief being prayed over, you'll be healed. Hallelujah. Waste your money. You know, that guy has no more authority in proclaiming healing than you have. Your prayers are every bit as powerful as the hanky-toter. I just can't imagine paying $25 for a piece of cloth that big and laying it on the TV. I'm sorry, folks. That's a poser. It's an imposter. Don't be taken in. Jesus is the door. Go through him. Continually go through him. Follow him, because he's the one who has life. If you want heaven, you've got to go that direction. Notice the comparison. Look at verse 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy and to take candy bars. I came that they might have life, and might have it abundantly. That they might have life. That they have it abundantly. Do you catch the difference? One wants to take from you. That's the imposter. The other wants to give to you. And that's the Christ. He is the true door to eternal life. Don't fall for these other things. Look at the explanation he gives, number 4, in verses 11 through 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And you see, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and I. He laid down his life that we might have life, that we could be protected, preserved, that we would be able to go into his pasture, if you will, into heaven, that we would be able to go under the security and the protection of God. That's what Jesus did, because he's the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 12, he who is a hireling and is not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds a wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. Doesn't mean he leaves the sheep and flees. F-L-E-A-S, it means he leaves, goes away. About 2 o'clock, someone's going to start chuckling at home. They're going to say, oh, I get it now. He leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The wolf here is Satan. The false shepherd is the false teacher, the false preacher. And when difficulties come, he runs away. And he leaves the sheep open and vulnerable. And Satan destroys them. Who do you want? The good shepherd that's going to stand there and fight for you, who's going to give his very life for your protection, for your freedom, for your deliverance? Or do you want the hireling who, when difficulties come, decides, I'm going away? God help you guys, it's every man for himself, and I'm getting out of here. What do you want? Follow the good shepherd, for he has life. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Notice that confirmation. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you want to know something? What Jesus stated, he performed. So his word is trustworthy. Jesus stated that he would lay down his life for the sheep. And then he marched right up to the hilltop at Calvary. They planted a cross and nailed him there. And his sheep know his voice. He laid down his life that you and I could have freedom. He laid down his life that we could have life forever in his presence. How you doing? How you doing? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Is he your good shepherd? If not, now's the time. Don't follow false shepherds. You'll be like Tom at the wall. Go to the door. Go to the door. And have life. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you at this time if you would please take your hymnals. Open up to number 327. Number 327. Jesus is calling. I believe that Jesus Christ is here today and that he's speaking to someone's heart. And he's saying, you know what? I am the door. You need to come through the door to have life. There's someone here today that needs to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You've got a great opportunity We invite you to come. There isn't anything I would rather do at the close of this service than to introduce you to my Jesus. That you would follow Him, not me, Him. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to go to the Father, you go through Him. So if Jesus is speaking to you and saying, you know what, you've tried all the other passages, they're not going to do it. Maybe you've tried drugs, maybe you've tried alcohol, maybe you've just tried being a good Joe, thinking that's going to get you in. It's not. You have to go to the door. So I invite you to come this morning and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So let's sing this. We're going to sing it right straight through. And if God's speaking to you, you step out and come. Amen. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Also, want to let you know, tonight at 7 o'clock, we're having a very special service. It's so special, it's been kept a secret, and I don't even know what it's about. But the worship committee has put together a service for this evening at 7. And they would love to have you come and share together in that. All that they say in the bulletin is that there's going to be a surprise. And I have no idea what the surprise is, so please don't ask me going out the door, because I don't know. All right? But we invite you to come back to that service. We're going to ask Matt to come and lead us in a benediction. Shall we pray while he's coming? Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your word and for showing us that Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. There's no other way than through Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit now would just take the truths that have come out of your word and that you would apply them deep to our hearts, that nothing would be able to shake them away. And Father, help us to come boldly before you and to follow you wherever you lead. Father, we love you and we thank you for your love for us. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray. Amen. Amen. Matt, would you please lead us?